and welcome everybody to another edition of the Bash Bros Podcast. My name's Corey. I am here with my brother, Brad Nelson. How you doing, bro?
I'm doing good. Is it the pubcast because you have a basketball game you're going to be watching tonight?
It is. It absolutely is. This podcast will be specifically talking about basketball, so buckle up.
All right. Today we also have a wonderful special guest. He did, in fact, take dead last in this week's Phantom Legends tournament. It is the one, the only Brian Brandewin. How's it going, BBD?
Well, I have to correct a lie when I hear one.
And the lie is?
I did not take dead last.
Okay, how did you do?
I finished 15th out of 16.
Oh, that's right.
Nice.
Somebody
work,
went
man.
0-5. I'm not gonna throw this person under the bus, but somebody did go 0-5 and it was not me. I went 1-4. I got that win. Also, is this the podcast episode where we're talking about James Naismith?
No, but we can if you want to, and would you like to explain why?
Oh, I mean, you guys were just talking about it earlier. Oh, he's the guy who invented the game of basketball. Oh, snap.
Why do you know that?
Why wouldn't I know that?
that
plenty
is some
of reasons.
Absurd trivia. Anyway, thank you everyone for listening in. If you want to listen on one of the platforms that we are supported on, you can do that at Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, or Spotify. Also, we do have a Patreon and a Discord associated with that. So if you love the content that we are making sporadically, because we are like that type of people that might not do a podcast ever, you can head over to patreon.com/bashbrospodcast and become a patron. And join us in Discord for our tomfoolery and lately just talking a lot about how Kevin Durant is now on the floor.
Oh, yeah. I knew this was going to be a basketball podcast. Yeah. That was brutal. And I want to say a big sorry to all our listeners because I know Brad really messed up this weekend, so we couldn't have a podcast to you last week. But he's sorry and it's not going to happen again. We should be back on a regular schedule from now on.
Unless we screw up next week our scheduling because we have to leave on Wednesday for the Mythic Championship.
Yay! I'm not
Yay.
Going.
Oh, I'm sorry, brother.
Oh, you're not going to go? Oh, that sucks. Why?
Yeah. Yeah, I got one of the invites. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to pass. Hard pass. A hard pass, just like Kevin Durant did to the floor in last night's game.
All right, no, so speaking of the Mythic Championship, today we are going to try, and I, you know, emphasize try, to talk about the format of Standard in the game of Magic the Gathering. There's been a lot of testing being done. I don't even know if we're right or wrong. It's going to be crazy to see what everyone does at this tournament, but shots were called and things happen. Now, we're not going to be talking about the decks that we register because that is a little bit too much lead-in time for anyone that would like to prepare against specific things that we are doing in the tournament, but we are going to openly talk about every single archetype that has become widely known and discuss the pros and cons of each one of them. So,
do you know what you sound like, Brad?
I do not know what I sound like, no.
You sound like a try-hard.
I sound like a try-hard?
That's right, because you keep talking about how we're going to try. It's just that's a real try-hard move.
Brad, you be hard. Don't try hard.
I feel like you also tried hard to lock up your top 16 of the Mythic Championship through the MPL Weekly.
Oh, I did try hard, yes.
Yeah, so you are also a try-hard. And I saw Corey trying very, very hard to beat Sho in the top 8 of the fandom earlier today.
Yeah, it was show and tell kind of show, and I was telling and he was showing, unfortunately.
I do not know what any of that meant.
that made literally zero sense.
I was hoping you guys would all just let that slide.
Wait, actually, it does make sense. He was showing the win, and Corey is now telling about it.
Exactly, oh, okay. Exactly. No, we played one hell of a close match. I think I was insanely disadvantaged with the way the lists were. Game one was basically a train wreck for me because he had Elder Spell and Command the Dreadhorde when I was playing an Esper variant with Hero and Thief. And Sho just had 4 Kaya's Wrath, 2 Search for his Kantas, 2 Elder Spells, and a Command the Dreadhorde where I was just playing with creatures. I thought this was a fair tournament, but apparently I didn't get the memo we were doing broken things this time, so...
Yeah, no, I do. I definitely feel like I missed the memo every time I register for fandom. I'm like, I'm going to play Soul Tide mid-range, and everyone shows up with Mono Blue. I mean, I did win that one.
Yeah, I was just going to say. God, you're such a try-hard.
Yeah, but I had to. I did have to try hard to beat all those Mono Blues. Speaking of try-hard, Brian, we had to wait for Brian to do the podcast because he queued up on Magic Arena and might still be in the match.
What are you talking about? Of course I'm not still in the match.
Yeah, did you win or lose?
What?
Did you win the match or lose the match that we waited and actually just said, you know what, we gotta start the podcast before the basketball game starts, and we have to do it now while Brian is still in the match.
To be fair, Brad, we were waiting for you to finish a match as well.
I'm not the kind of person who will tell whether I win or lose a match. You know,
you don't want to win and tell.
See, he wants to show. I'm gonna tell. It'll be a nice show and tell story. Okay.
Not to be rude, but
yeah.
All right. Anyway, I want to start off things with the new fandom deck. It is the Esper control deck that's going around. And when I say control, that might mean absorb, but it doesn't. It's just the new iteration that plays Bell Haunts, Search for Skanta, and then all of the Planeswalkers.
And hero, Kaya's notably.
No hero, yeah. They do not need a hero.
No, they already have enough of them. They don't need 8 heroes, so.
Oh, I'll tell you who needs a hero, though.
Who needs a hero? Enrique and
I do in this game that I'm still playing right
Are
now.
Are you still in the match?
Oh, my Rickety God. Wrecked.
This is what we deal with. This is what we deal with on a daily basis. I think that I have spent more time waiting on BBD than maybe being around my brother.
Wow. I am going to say that I learned something new today.
Yeah, that he hates his brother.
No.
That Domri has an emblem.
Wait, what Domri has an emblem?
The 4-mana Domri.
Yeah, you just win. Yeah, you like make 4/4s or something every turn. Or...
Yeah, my opponent just did that to me. In a game that I'm certainly not still playing. That would be absurd.
That'd be an elaborate scheme.
But if I was still playing the game, that probably would have happened in it. So.
All right. Well, let's get back to what I was talking about, which is Esper control with a bunch of Planeswalkers. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you can check the top 4 of the Phantom because it kind of sliced through that tournament. And
in what way did it slice through that tournament?
Like a hot knife through butter.
That's right. That is right.
Yes, it sliced through it like a hot knife through butter.
Yeah, it truly did. It was, as of now when we're recording, we saw 3... out of 3 Esper control decks are in the top 4 right now, and it's all up to Gabriel Nassif, the good guy, to take down back-to-back matches against Autumn and the winner of Sho and John Rolfe. So it's
what's Nassif playing?
Nassif is playing Blue Green Steel Yo Girl.
Yeah, I don't know. That might not be that bad of a matchup. Yeah, I don't know.
That might be.
So this Esper deck seems like it is designed to prey on, from my testing and my understanding of the deck, is to prey on the non-green aggressive decks. Like, I don't think by not having hero, you're really, like, hurting your mono-red matchup, or maybe not even your Is It Phoenix matchup, depending on, like, how many Elder Spells or D-Sparks. Like, the more Elder Spells you have, like, the worse, right? But, like, if you have D-Sparks and stuff like that, like, the heroes aren't that big of a deal. But this deck seems brutal in the mirrors because you just have the Wrath to clean the things up. Most decks aren't even playing any counter spells main anymore, so your Command the Dreadhordes and Elder Spells are always resolving. And it just seems like kind of a train wreck for any Esper deck trying to fight up this uphill battle because game one is so bad, and then after game two, you still have relatively the same stuff, but you might still be a little bit more powerful because you're like designed for the mirror. I'm really curious how this deck does against like Gruul and Bant, Soultide Dreadhorde decks like that. Like Brian, you play a lot of Esper and maybe still currently are playing it.
No, I lost.
Okay,
that emblem killed me very fast. All right. They apparently have Trample too, so.
But what is your opinion of this deck? Is this deck just going to take over the metagame?
No, I don't think so.
Because I do want to say something. Oh, sorry, BBD, you want to make your point first, but.
Well, I'm underselling the deck, but I kind of just feel like that deck's not great against green decks. Like, I don't know how its matchup against Gruul is, but like the Nissa decks, like I am skeptical that it's favored against those decks because like not having access to cards like Hero or whatever means that you like your Kai's Wrath are one overly taxed. Like they have to be insane. Because you have to like protect planeswalkers with them. But also you're super reliant on like Teferi to win you the game. And your Teferis are like heavily taxed against those decks because like they either have like Mass Manipulation or the Immortal Sun or Nissa to pressure it, or a variety of other cards that I think without like a card that can snowball to win you games or snowball to like protect your planeswalkers, like Hero, I just have a hard time imagining that you're favored in those matchups.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're trying to build a house of cards. Now, while I think it's a very sturdy house of cards, but like I honestly feel like it's just trying to get too low loyalty planeswalkers in the form of Teferi and Time Raveler and Narset into play, and then just quick combo and emblem of Teferi.
I do think Kaya's Wrath is super good against these Bant decks. Like, I mean, whenever they Nissa and you can get like two lands with a Kaya's Wrath and then de-spark Nissa, like that sequence is insane. And sometimes Hero just gets run over. Like, it's good at being able to protect yourself until you find an answer to Nissa. But, you know, I mean, I guess Kaya's Wrath is kind of doing the same thing, but I don't know. Kaya's Wrath is really important.
That many de-sparks?
No, they don't play any in the main deck because they have some in the sideboard, but not many.
Yeah, I think that's the spot they have to do is take out Heroes and D-Sparks for Kaya's Wrath and Narset's, basically.
Yeah, then, it looks like this list doesn't really play very much in the terms of D-Spark, and so, yeah, they're certainly at the mercy in some regards, at least game one. They might improve a lot after board. But.
To be fair, though, Elder Spell is kind of like a D-Spark in the sense where, you know, half the time it's an instant, and anything you need to D-Spark outside of, like, Rekindling Phoenix or Ferox or something is a Planeswalker, and then Little Teferi can just bounce those troublesome creatures. So, you know, maybe Elder Spell is just a better D-Spark.
Well, I guess what we're talking about right now is if this deck is where it's at and it wins the mirrors and the other matchups, then it's the Blade, but I would like to see the numbers. I'm not convinced that it's good against certain decks, and especially so, like if you know, if people start knowing what versions they're playing against and they know they have Wrath main, like Fandom is a perfect information tournament. Like, I find it difficult that in game one that a Gruulport person couldn't just like sequence around the Kaya's Wraths.
Yeah, I think decks like Gruul has a ton of haste, has Planeswalkers, has Phoenix.
Yeah.
Kaya's Wrath's like a good card against them, but it's not backbreaking.
Yeah, and just you said it right there, haste is what really dominates this deck. Haste is just so good. It has to be like the best ability for a creature right now in the current metagame.
I mean, I think haste is just the best like evergreen creature ability that there is.
But. I don't know. Have you seen Hexproof? May I interest you in Hexproof?
I haven't. You can't see them. They're untargetable. So.
fair. So all they're right. John Cena if they have Hexproof?
That's correct.
So nice. The next deck I want to talk about is...
It's John Cena!
is Strosky's red-green aggressive deck. Speaking of red-green, this deck looks unique. Now, when I woke up, I was like, oh boy, is this a deck coming to the tournament? Because I promise you, I never cast Charging Monster Store in my testing for the Mythic Championship. So now, for everyone at home that hasn't seen this yet... It is a green-red aggressive deck, but it is not playing like the traditional Phoenix and Hellkite top end. It still has Paradise Druid and Llanowar Elves, but it's playing Thorn Lieutenants, Lightning Strikes, four Domries, and then Spellbreakers, Nullhide Ferox's, Charging Monster Stores, Nissa's, and Immortal Sun. So this deck, and Ripjaw Raptor to go with the four Domries, Anarcha Bolas. So this deck... is trying to do something like just sidestepping a lot of what people are worrying about right now and using Domries and Nissas and Nullhide Ferox's to present like more unique effects than the format is prepared for. Also, I will tell you, I played a lot of Hero and other decks in this format, and Domry is just more annoying than Legion Warboss.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Domry's insane.
I could never understand why the Gruul decks always play two copies of Domry, considering it's the best card in the deck. It just made no sense to me.
It's because it's bad in other matchups. Like, it's just horrendous against... it wasn't as good because your Phoenixes didn't fight like Ferox's do.
Sure.
And it's just a little bit weaker against like red. Like this version, the Nullhead Ferrixes do help, and probably Charger Monster Stores do as well.
Oh yeah.
But like Domri is weak in those matchups. I think that's why people were getting away from it, because they wanted to play Phoenix, which didn't fight like Nullhead and Charger Monster Store.
So are you trying to say that Nullhead Ferrox is like Gaston?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
No, but I do want to say one thing too, is at one point earlier in the day, it was Andrew Cuneo versus Andre Strotsky at 1 and 2 playing a match, and both playing Gruul.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. They were playing for the number one spot, and it was Andrew's list, which I guess we probably aren't talking about, and then that list that we saw. I mean, is Gruul just the best? Maybe.
Who won?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I just saw them. It was a hype image that Strotsky put up there to be like, come watch my stream, you know?
Oh, okay. Because I need to know who won that match, so that'll inform me as to whether Gruul is the best deck in the format or other Gruul is the best deck in the format.
Dino Gruul or regular Gruul? Smart. I mean, to be fair, like if you go turn 1 Llanowar, turn 2 Domri, turn 3 Charging Monster Store, attack for 6, that's disgusting.
And you could fight.
Yeah, oh wait, no, you have to add the mana.
So while they are at the top of it, I have also been close to the top. I actually had a bad run this morning, just of like mulligans and just running bad. But I've also just been at the top, like second or third on the ladder lately, and I will just say that like, there was a lot of people out at tournaments or something, but like there was just a lot of loose decks and people trying a bunch of stuff lately. So like, I think we were kind of in an exploratory week. So I don't put a lot of stock in who's first or second. It's just who's grinding the most. Like these are like the best players like in the world. One's MPL, Andrzej Strzelski took top 4 of the Mythic Invitational. Like this stuff does not give me like, I don't buy into the survivorship bias that like a lot of other people do.
I do think that Gruul is probably fine. I agree that I'm not like super thrilled with the deck, but I will say that if like these kinds of Gruul decks are I'm curious to see how does this matchup play against that Esper deck. I think that this Gruul deck would be favored against it, but maybe that's incorrect.
Well, especially if people are trying to attack the metagame with like Tyrant Scorn and stuff, like Charging Monster Sword literally laughs at that card, points and laughs, and continues on its day smashing face, you know? Like it's just it's able to sidestep the removal that's being played right now, and kind of attack the metagame in a different way, and it's gonna force some evolution from these Esper decks.
Well, a lot of these Esper decks have like 4 cast downs and stuff.
So. That's true. And that card is just so much better than Tyrant Scorn these days, I think.
Well, I think it's better if you don't have Hero, but if you're playing like Hero, the card is just better than cast down.
Yeah, if you're playing heroes and like elite guards or bell haunts or you know deputy
it's insane with deputies and hostage takers, just like resetting.
Yeah, hostage takers and that's where having Tyrant Scorn's versatilities really shines.
That's true. I was playing a lot of Esper mirrors today, where my Tyrant Scorns literally had no targets from their side that I could actually destroy, but they were still pretty good at like just returning guard mage, playing it, getting 2 tokens, drawing a card, gaining 3, you know, I mean or fading a removal spell. It was pretty solid. Obviously not ideal, but
yeah. It's not like a card you want in the matchup, but it doesn't have no text.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even just bouncing like a legendary creature that cast down can't do. That's come up for me like when a Bant deck gets a Shalai down early, like that card can literally just beat me.
Yeah, Shalai's good.
Oh yeah, Shalai is very good.
Or even just my personal dream is like they play, you know, they play a Shalai, you hostage taker it. They play another one, you're like, all right, bounce my hostage taker, replay it. Like,
oh yeah.
Legend rule the Shalais and then get the other one or whatever.
I'll also say that one of the reasons I didn't like Gruul to begin with, though, was just because Phoenix made my mana so bad, and just Nullhide Ferrix just makes a lot of sense at just making sure like you don't have to go elf and then not still cast your Phoenix on turn 3.
And Phoenix is just horrible right now. I think Little Teferi really warped the way that you can build your Gruul decks, because if you're just playing Rekindling Phoenix and it just gets bounced by the ability of Teferi, not only are you kind of trading down, but Nohod Ferox, just that play doesn't exist. So Ferox is still very vulnerable to Kaya's Wrath and stuff, but it's not vulnerable to Little Teferi. And I mean, that's half the cards you're dodging essentially there.
So this came up for me a couple days ago, actually, because that deck's been popular, and I was like, you know, pretty much over the weekend testing for this tournament, I played literally every single deck at the top tables. But the funniest moment I had was when my opponent, who played Nullhide Ferox, spent 3 mana to be able to play a Domri to fight my creature, and they just pay 2 extra mana to turn off the ability, then tap out for this Domri, and then go to fight my creature.
And you just cast out?
It unlocked my removal spell. And I couldn't cast the removal spell. Yeah, I couldn't cast the removal spell.
It's like, D-spark it, get a 1-1. All right, thanks. I'll kill your Domri.
It was just absurd.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, you can't get too greedy with that card, you know. Take your strides where you can, you know.
Yeah, so I will say that if I was going to be playing Gruul, I would test this deck, because it doesn't seem like a meme. When I saw Charger Monster, I thought it was a meme. But
yeah,
anything that gets the Phoenixes out of my deck and allows me to play, plus like Ripjaw Raptors and Nullhide Ferox, it seems like there's a metagame that Andre thinks exists if Andre's still playing this deck, you know.
Yeah.
Like, there's definitely a metagame that he is predicting. And truth be told, I think that, like, Gruul, like, if I had to say what the like, I guess, I mean, yeah, this doesn't even matter. I was asked to predict the metagame of the Mythic Championship. And what I said is, this is what I think the metagame for that tournament is going to be like. And this is kind of how I feel like the metagame is this last week. I don't know where it's evolving. But, yeah,
32 MPL players.
Yeah.
16 challengers. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm predicting the most played card to be Nissa. And at like 14 to 18 people playing Nissa variants, even like Gruul might play Nissa in it. But like Bant and Blue Green, Bant is the most popular into Blue Green into Sultai. And then I predict Teferi to just be slightly underplayed than Nissa. And
I think Thought Erasure will be more played than any card.
Well, isn't Teferi and Thought Erasure just a 4 of in every deck? That has Thought Erasure?
Grixis.
And blue, black, and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Well, sure. Thought Erasure could. Sorry, I was thinking like more of the pillars of the deck.
Sure.
But I think Thought Erasure is the best card in the format.
I do too. Thought Erasure is insane. It smooths out your draws while still picking apart anything.
I don't think so.
What do you think is the best card in the format?
I think Nissa is by far the best card in the format. Like I just think there's a lot of the decks that surround Nissa maybe aren't that great. Yeah. People are starting to build good decks around Nissa, which is getting scary. I think some of those decks are good and might do well, but I just firmly believe that Nissa is the most powerful card in the format. It's pressure, an absurd amount of ramp, and very difficult to kill. Like, starts at such an obscenely high loyalty. And makes a vigilant creature that can block, like untapping a land for it too. Plus, just if your opponent untaps with a Nissa, it just like almost feels like you can't win a lot of the time.
But I think the relevant text here is just think about this, BBD. Let me just take you on a journey real quick, okay?
Is that journey you Thought Erasuring the Nissa? Therefore, since Thought Erasure beats Nissa by taking it out of your hand, it's better.
No, okay. This is completely different. Think about this, BBD. You have 5 mana and playing a Domri, okay? You go charging Monstasaur, fight the 3/3 you just made, attack Nissa for 6. Boom, broke it.
That is disgusting.
That is disgusting, I'm telling you. I really think, I'm going to queue up that deck after we get done with this podcast. And actually, I might pull a BBD and queue it up right now while we finish this podcast.
Oh.
Yeah, just be careful. I just finished my second match, so make sure you dodge me. I don't want to queue against you.
Sure. Well, I hear that you lose to Domri, so I don't want to do you like that, bud.
That is true.
All right. Well, moving on to the rest of my metagame prediction.
Okay.
Teferi decks will be slightly less played than Nissa, but very close, and they might be more. But I really don't think that like more than like 14 people are going to show up with Esper variants, just because it has been getting more hype because of like the SCG and the Grand Prix and stuff, but it really just was not, I guess Esper control was really popular in the MPL at the beginning, but then it died down. Yep. So I could maybe see, I could see people just pulling back onto that, but
I don't think so though.
Go ahead, BBD.
Well, I think there's going to be a lot of like people who play Esper. I think it'll be a heavily played deck. Maybe if you lumped every Esper variant into one deck, probably the most played deck. But I don't think that people are going to like abandon their trajectory on the format to like go running back to Esper. But maybe I'm wrong.
I'm gonna make a prediction here. I'm going to bet that over or at 50% of the MPL members are going to play Esper.
I will easily take the under on that.
I'll take
you
the
think
under.
So? Really? Easily. I really think, you know, I mean, the MPLers are supposed to be, you know, these very, you know, above average Magic players, and maybe they're going to...
In 2009, the Magic Pro League compiled of kind of okay Magic players will do battle in boiling hot Las Vegas. Which one melts first under the pressure and heat? We'll find out at twitch.tv/magic.
I don't know. Here, you heard it here first. I think 50% or more MPLers will play Esper Control, thinking that they can outplay opponents. That's my prediction. You heard it here first.
If I could bet on tournaments, I would.
I'm going to make a wild baseless prediction.
All right.
Kevin Durant's coming back.
Ken Yukihiro will make the top 16 in this tournament. That is my prediction.
That is ridiculous.
I think he'll get there to the top 16.
That is ludicrous.
That is ludicrous.
It is.
You really think he's going to make it?
I do. I think that I just think he's got it. Like, I think he's got it on lock. I think he's got...
What do you think,
just
bro?
Just the mastery of form.
I don't know. He, you know, he might be my horse to pick here. He is in the diamond division, right? No?
Would you say he's a diamond in the rough?
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Doesn't sound like he would say that.
Well, I have a bold statement too.
Huh.
That Kai Boudé has the worst odds of winning this tournament.
No way.
Actually, no. So Younger...
The Malta Machine?
No, yeah, the Malta Machine. So we have to explain that now.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
So Kai Boudé is the most dominant Magic player to ever play this game. He won 3 Pro Tours in a row, and I know that there's new kids that might not even know who Kai is. I have to explain this, you know? And he won 3 Pro Tours in a row back in the day. He's gotten...
He's won 7 total.
He's won 7 total. He was called the German Juggernaut, but now he moved to Malta for his job, and we test with him, and so he's now the Malta Machine.
Yeah, I mostly make that a point to say that all the time whenever I like play against him in a testing draft or something, and he basically never responds, so I'm pretty sure he doesn't like it, but I keep saying it, and he never stops me, so...
So the reason we're making this joke is because Yelger works with Kai... for this sports betting company, and
they both work for Pinnacle.
Yeah, they both work for Pinnacle, and I don't know the inner workings, but all I know is Yelger is allowed to set lines for Magic the Gathering tournaments, and I don't know what the stakes are for it, but I do know that he just makes joke, like it must be for such small stakes that he can make jokes, because there's always humor involved in the lines he's setting or which bets he's allowing to be put in there. And
yeah,
like
one pro tour is like he'll often pit players against each other. And one pro tour he pitted Brad against Sigrist, yes, to see who would do the best.
But there's
Brad, like he'll pit people who you know have like a rivalry or you know just random stuff like that.
Yeah, you guys see him putting people against each other. All I'm seeing is insider trading going on, and he puts huge bets on Kai after putting him at the lowest.
I think the maxes are like probably double digits that you can bet.
Oh, so you're saying he's gonna spew all his money on Kai?
Yeah, so but the funny thing is, no. So
Burn.
So Yelger will do these things like definitely like inflate his own testing team, like the Pantheon. So the, all of them just are like weighted. Like it's actually like if you could bet, like you can't, I can't bet from the United States, but just because of how he weighs it towards his friends, it's almost always a correct bet to bet against them. And because he just has fun with that. But my favorite is he did something unique this time, which was gave Kai the worst odds in the entire tournament by an astronomical degree. Like we're talking like discretionary invites have twice as much of a chance to win the tournament than the literal, one of the literal best Magic players of all time. You know,
hell
like,
yeah.
Which is ridiculous. He is what 100. I am 10 times more likely to win the tournament than he is.
Yeah, you also are in actually, the top 16.
Whoa, whoa, whoa! Actually, we don't have to get into the details. Let's just. I just want to say that Yelger thinks I am 10 times more likely to win the tournament than Kai Bude.
Oh, wow. He probably doesn't think that. He probably thinks that you're he probably thinks that you're 4 or 5 times more likely to win the tournament than Kai Bude, but he loves the troll.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. After I finish this match on Arena, I'm messaging Kai to ask him about this. That's hilarious.
Wait, you're messaging who?
The Malta Machine.
That's yeah. Right. Okay. That, yeah, I was sorry. Confused who you're talking about for a second there. You said a name I didn't recognize.
Yeah, we really want to keep everyone on the same wavelength here, so thanks for clearing that up, BBD.
Always happy to help.
God, you're a good guy.
All right. So we talked about those decks. We talked about some of this. We're kind of on a loose goose format today. So well, I apologize, everyone.
I got something to bring up here. I want to know your guys' opinions on this. Like, I think there is an insane amount of mixed reviews on the banned manipulation deck. Do you guys think it's good, or do you guys think it was just like a product of attacking an Esper deck that really wasn't completely like formed, like a final form Esper deck? Or do you guys just think it's good, or just good because of the card Nissa?
You well, fool, you attempted to attack my Esper deck, but it wasn't even my final form.
So first we have to break down BAMP because this format has so many weird things. So there's what I consider what I've been calling blue-based BAMP and white-based BAMP, which ultimately means that you play 12 sources of one of the other colors and and 16 or 17 sources of white and 12 of blue or flop them.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I just can't get out of my head the thought of just like, walking dejectedly up to your friends, they'd be like, oh, you lost? You'd be like, yeah, I got a case of the blue bant. I don't know. Just suffering from the blue bant. So I continue.
So the blue-based versions play Mass Manipulation and Frilled Mystic and things like that. And the white versions play Ixalan's Binding, Tristani, Shalai, the white finale to Glory or something. And after sideboard, some white enchantment removal and Lyras. The blue-green versions play, like, more counter spells and like, the green creatures that are good against the aggressive decks, which for whatever, I'm not going to say it. I was about to drop it.
Whoa, no, you've had it, like, the last 3 weeks, okay?
I know, I'm sorry. I've had enough
of this fucking shit, Brad, okay?
Oh, my goodness. Gracious. Look at the potty mouth on Corey.
Oh, yeah. That is. I finally got one in. Oh,
Jiminy Crickets, you and your language is out of this world.
No, so, like, they played Thorn Lieutenant in their sideboard. Like, people, don't put Thorn Lieutenant in your sideboard. I think that the card is fine in Gruul because it works really well as just an early creature that doesn't get interacted with that, and it protects your Domries and stuff like that.
Well, and
but this... this is not a card you put in a blue-green ramp sideboard. You're like, oh, I'm going to take out my Paradise Druids, and I'm going to bring in my 2/3.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good strategy to do against red, though, to be fair.
You've upgraded the toughness from 1 to 3 if you just... Yeah. It's strange you don't have it in the main deck, considering it's just a superior creature.
But honestly, I think with what you said about blue ramp and white ramp, I honestly think the blue ramp is just absolutely terrible. Counter spells are bad, and playing any green creature that gets bounced by Teferi effectively is also bad. So
you asked me about this deck, and now you're taking it away from me.
Well, sorry, I was adding to it. Okay,
I was literally just clarifying the differences for what you were describing.
Okay, so
I feel personally attacked right
so
now.
So what do you think is the better version?
Okay, so I think
well,
that
I'm not
going to
say the blue
version,
one now.
I think the white version is definitely the better version. I think the blue version sucks.
Yeah, and I think you both suck.
I think anybody who even would bring up the blue version also sucks.
Oh, yeah. Anyone who would even suggest talking about the blue version of Vance?
Yeah.
But Corey did.
Anybody who would talk about the blue version of Vance percentages just went down lower than Kai's for the next Mythic Invitation.
Sounds like whoever first brought up the blue one should be a lucky loser in the Red Bull tournament.
My mom always said I was a loser, but I didn't know I was a lucky one.
Oh, yeah. Are you feeling lucky, punk?
Oh, yeah.
So, I heard that they were calling people lucky losers for this. So there's a Red Bull tournament and people had to apply to be invited to it.
Yeah.
And people who didn't get the invite to the tournament, but were like next on the list in case other people didn't confirm their invite, were called lucky losers because like they lost, but maybe they can get lucky and get in the tournament. But I heard the term lucky loser and I didn't realize that that's what it meant. I thought lucky loser just referred to people who just got shut down. Like, people were just like, oh, no, you're not going to be in this tournament, but you're a lucky loser. And I just thought it was the greatest thing ever. I was like, man, yeah. They are holding no punches back. They are really shoving it in.
I don't even know why I'm taking a spot in this tournament. It starts at midnight for me, and I have to stream at midnight. Like,
you don't have to stream it.
You don't?
No, it's encouraged. I'm not streaming it.
Are you? Well, I don't know. Maybe I have to.
Oh, you
Magic
might.
Magic Pro League might have to.
Yeah, ooh. I kind of felt like I was told I had to, but maybe
they also gave me a spinny hat to wear, too, and I think I have to wear that.
Really?
Who gave you a spinny hat?
They didn't. I'm spectacle. And when I did that, I threw my hands up and glitter came out.
Yeah, I actually am going to be traveling to Roanoke during that time, so I'm going to be playing this from a hotel. At 1 a.m.
That sounds awful.
That sounds amazing.
I know. Well, I can't complain about not being invited to a tournament, and then after I get invited, just be like, I'm not going to play it.
Oh, wait, you did get invited?
Yeah, I'm the lucky loser. I tell you, this morning I got invited.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Congratulations. I didn't actually know that. Yeah,
yeah. I
tweeted, and it happened.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like
I'm either lucky or Brad's tweets helped me out. Needless to say, I'm going to cancel my order for like 15 cases of Monster here right when we get done with this. So.
Yeah, Corey got in as a lucky loser, and I don't usually tweet and get tilted off, but I was tilted about this one. I really was, because not even if there's only one reason that I'm tilted, and now I am definitely going to call out a person, Eric, and say that our good friend, now I'm glad that he got in. But
I think it's
part,
gas that Eric got
it's
in.
It's gas that he got in. But there was a part of me that died when I heard that our friend Eric got into this tournament. But my brother, who just was short of MPL, who was just like all these little tiny things, who is streaming all the time, who is a positive
who knows
in the
who
community.
Knows the Malta machine, you know?
Who
I mean, the list goes
machine.
On.
Yeah. It didn't get into this tournament. There's a part of me that was just like, what is this world? I don't understand it anymore. I don't get what's happening. And I even say that coming from a spot of like privilege where I'm in the top 16 of a tournament. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Why am I here? Why do I not have to play? I mean, it's amazing.
Well,
I can't...
did you read the FAQ? The reason that you're in the top 16 is because you won your Emerald Division.
Don't even do this. Do not try to get under my skin, Brian. Do not try to do that.
Do what? I'm just explaining the situation to you. What am I trying to do?
Yeah, unfortunately, Brad, I heard you didn't make the top 16 of this fandom event this weekend.
Oh, yeah, I knocked you out and then won for good.
I like how I like how I get fricked.
Yeah, BBD, chill, dude.
Get frisicked.
Frizzled. Hey, I got to bring up one thing that's kind of off key, but did you guys listen to the fandom commentary at all?
No.
No.
Okay, the only thing that tilts me to no end is the one guy, nobody has corrected him, but he thinks it's Frizzed Mystic. He just says Frizzed Mystic every single time for Frilled Mystic. And it's literally, I may have heard it like 8 times and nobody's corrected him yet. And it's blowing my mind. But I do want to also bring up one more thing.
You know
thing.
What? You, I take it back. You shouldn't be in the Red Bull tournament. You don't have problems.
Yeah, you are. You're a bad. Oh, whew, yeah, yeah. Get out of this tournament, you lucky loser.
But
anyway,
I will say,
oh, now, you know, I will take it back and say, Bant with White is the better version.
Ooh, oh, I disagree.
why are you just copying what I already said? What are you doing?
I'll disagree, man. Blue seems like the way better version right now.
All right. We're going back on topic because we're giving the fans what we think they want.
Oh, can I just say one more thing about this Red Bull tournament?
You can.
I think I'm a massive favorite in it.
You do think you're a massive favorite?
Yes.
And why is that?
Because I've already mastered the sleep schedule for it.
Yeah, that is just true.
Last night, I just went to bed at 7:30 a.m., which is around the time I'll be going to bed when I lose playing for top 8 of the Red Bull tournament.
Wow. That's impressive, buddy. Jesus.
Luckily I get to, like, a couple days after the Mythic Championship to figure out what I'm going to do for this Red Bull tournament. But I'm probably just going to take a nap in the middle of the afternoon.
Well, you know what you should do is drink some Red Bulls, dog.
All right. I'm going to say that I don't... I'm still unsure if Tristani is worth it because there's not as many mass manipulations. And I think mass manipulation is bad because it is good against Gruul. And maybe if Gruul's making a comeback. But if Gruul's playing Nullhide Ferroxes and Monster Swords and not the other threats, maybe it's not as good. I don't know.
I think it's good against Esper Planeswalkers as well.
It's fine.
All these decks, though,
good,
I don't think they're ready for Tristani. I think Tristani is gas.
Tristani is good. Maybe there's better, like maybe Talzmir, but now Talzmir looks like it's getting worse.
But like D-Spark still handily deals with that. You know, Lava Coil is still in all the red deck sideboard. I don't think Tristani is that good either. I'm with Brad on this one.
Well, one for one-ing Tristani is like, you still get value out of it, right?
But
like,
it's
everything
costs five, you know, like.
But everything dies to removal. Like,
I don't know. All of this deck's matchups exactly, but I will say that like Bant Ramp, I've only found Esper variants that have access to sweepers to be bad matchups for it.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that pretty much the Will is pretty good for it. I think the deck is very good against any Dreadhorde style deck. Gruul seems like even, maybe they're a little behind if they're not playing the blue stuff, but like I've liked anyone that's playing Lava Coil, I do not think it has a good matchup against this deck because it just goes so far over the top.
And for what it's worth, that's the deck where I was testing the most for this fandom event until I basically just copied BBD's list and played that. But I was, it was still good. But I played, I was playing two Ixalan's Bindings in the main over the Frilled Mystic slot. And then I was playing two more in the board and just absolutely wrecking every non-Esper matchup with those cards. Like, I mean, against Phoenix and Gruul and Mono Red, you just have four Ixalan's Binding in your deck and you were just destroying people.
Well, while I think Ixalan's Binding is good, the deck I'm talking about doesn't have Frilled Mystic in it.
Yeah, because you cut it for Ixalan's Binding.
I don't know what's happening anymore because I can never remember a deck list, so I'm just enjoying the ride here.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm trying to talk about the deck, but no one will listen to me.
All right, talk
Poor
about it.
Poor me. No one will listen. No. So I think that Ixalan's Binding is like insanely good in the deck. But here's my, like, I think that deck is a very good deck, and here's my reasoning why. So as I said earlier in this podcast, I think Nissa is the best card in Standard, but I think a lot of the Nissa decks don't utilize her particularly well. Like, for example, Sultai Dreadhorde. I don't think that is a deck that utilizes... I mean, it plays Nissa because Nissa's so good, but it doesn't really use Nissa optimally. Like, Command the Dreadhorde and Nissa is not really a combo. Like, it does have Krasis, which is good with Nissa, but, like, the rest of the deck doesn't really, like, mesh with the Nissas that much. But what I love about Bant is I think that, like, all of Bant just really uses Nissa exceptionally well, and I think the best way to use Nissa is to have it almost as like a curve topper, but have cards that scale. So like You need if Nissa's like one. Whoa, if Nissa's like your
are
first...
you trying to convince me to play Hardened Scales again?
Yes, mm-hmm. I am.
Here's Brad talking about derailing the podcast, and he brings up Hardened
but
Scales.
Can you actually explain what scaling means?
Okay, so if Nissa's like your first play of the game, like your first real play of the game, maybe you played like a Mana Dork or something. You might be behind, like, and it might not be very good. Your opponent might just kill it or kill the elemental and then kill it or, you know, whatever. But if you've played a game of Magic and then cast a Nissa, it's probably going to be pretty good. Like, your opponent's expended resources, you've traded creatures, things like that. That then Nissa's going to be pretty good. And so what I think makes Nissa the best is when you have cards that you can play before your Nissa, like Shalai is a good example of that. But then once you have all the extra mana from Nissa, you have this mana sink that you can dump all this mana into. And, like, I think that the white Bant deck has a lot of these cards that are really good at doing that. Like, Hydroid Crisis does this. Shalai does this. Finale of Glory does this, too. Like, sometimes Finale of Glory is just call the cavalry, and that's actually pretty good. But sometimes Finale of Glory is win the game. And it just depends on at what point of the game you have it and when you're choosing to play it. And these kind of cards that can be played early but also scale late, I think that is like where you want to be for a Nissa deck.
Yeah, I'm
with
you.
I 100% agree with you. It was a deck that I really liked and played a ton the last week.
Are you having regrets, Brad?
Huh?
Are you having regrets?
For playing that deck?
I registered it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, you
should have
played Mono Red, bud.
Yeah.
That's the deck that you registered? Interesting.
It is. So next up on the list that I want to talk about is it Phoenix? And particularly where it's good in the metagame and where it's not. Now, there's a lot of different deck, like card choices in the deck. And I honestly feel like... So the one in particular is there's Agra Bolas 4 Finale versions, and then there's Goblin Electromancer versions that play like 2 or 3 Finale.
Yep.
And I'm just going to, like, I don't even know if this needs to have a discussion between the three of us, but anyone at home that plays Phoenix that is interested in this, I don't think you can just go out in the world without Electro, Goblin Electromancer. If you expect any Nissa decks to really show up in the metagames, because the other version is just really slow against that, maybe there's enough removal to like pick things off. But I do think that the Augur version is where you want to be if other shock decks are everywhere or Esper.
Yep.
I think that if Nissa decks taper off, I think these Augur Finale versions are just lights out very good builds of Phoenix. But you just need that quick speed draw sometimes to compete with a lot of these green ramp decks. But maybe it's still worth it just be the Augur version. I don't know. Yeah. I hated Augur for the longest time, but I'm coming around to it because it picks off Teferis and Narsets and
yep.
And it's good against shocks. It holds the fort. It allows you to like amass more spells so that like, yeah, you're not really playing three spells for your Phoenix the right way. You're like cheating it, right? Like you're cheating it with Finale. And that's your game plan, is to find your Finales, kill some things, and then have a big turn.
Yeah, and you set up for turn four. And I'll be the devil's advocate here. And I think the Electromancers are actively bad, even against Nissa, specifically the Bant version. Anytime you're on the draw against a deck that can play a Teferi and bounce your Electromancer, I just do not want to be doing that. Like, I just do not think Electromancer is where you want to be outside of the fact that most of the decks are playing shock. And if, you know, obviously you don't want it against shock matchups, but if you also don't want it against Nissa decks where they can go turn two Teferi on the draw and tempo you out, or they can go Teferi on the play even without a Llanowar War Elf, I just do not think Electromancer is very good. And I think it's much better to just set up for the first three turns, set up a Finale where you can play a Finale for to get two other spells and bring a Arclight back there, because Finale is a better Magic card.
I don't agree with you,
Corey. I don't agree with that at all, bro.
Really? No.
Yeah,
I got
because
it.
Like these Bant decks just play a couple Teferis, and
they play two Teferis. Generally speaking, they play like one and one, or sometimes three. But they also like the turn two Teferi is rare. Like you have to have a Shockland and a Llanowar Elf, and then another color of mana. Like
yeah, I mean that's fair, and I do think. you know, it's a lot better on the play against these types of deck, and it is probably, like, shining in that matchup, but, I mean, if it's bad against every other matchup, how can that card be worth it? And I hated Augur of Bolas, too, but I've been playing that list, and I think it's much better.
I don't think that Electromancer is bad in other matchups. It's not that good. I wouldn't classify it as just not, like, actively bad, but okay. I mean, of course, it's just, like, a creature that sometimes dies, sometimes doesn't. It's not, like, actively good, but I'm just saying that if this format really starts slogging and, like, Esper decks take it over and we finally crack the code on a control deck, like, I think that an Augur of Bolas finale, removal-heavy, you know, Spell Pierce, Legion War Boss, Shalai, something like that, version of a Phoenix deck could be really good.
Shalai?
It has...
You're throwing Shalai?
Sahili.
I was like, this deck sounds wild, bro. Wow.
Yeah, Sahili. But I think that Izzet Phoenix has the tools to beat pretty much anything in the format, but it has to target it really, really excessively and be built for it.
Yep. Yeah. That is the thing about Phoenix, is it's not a good enough deck to be able to just beat it all at once. You have to kind of pick and choose your battles.
But to be fair, Izzet Phoenix, I think, has the highest ceiling possible out of any deck in Standard, because the draws that you can have with Arclight Phoenix are just sometimes astronomically good if you can, you know, get two or three Phoenixes back within the first 3 to 4 turns. It's just busted.
And then there's also games where you have 7 cards in your hand and your opponent has a Teferi and a Narset, and literally none of your cards have text.
Yeah, like none you can the, shock a Narset to put it to 3 or something, and then you're done.
Literally no card in your hand has text as a magic card.
Except Chardicors says, actually just discard a card.
There was a match between Peter and... John Emmanuel Duprat, yeah, in the MPL Weekly, and I was losing my shit on the couch because I've never seen this yet in Standard, where John had 7 cards in hand, 4 lands in play, and couldn't take a relevant game action.
That's right.
Could not take a relevant game action in any way. All of the cards, because Teferi stopped it from being cast on Peter's turn, and Narset stopped any additional draws, and everything was a cantrip or a finale. Just literally could not make a relevant play. And I'm like, that is the most absurd thing I've ever seen in Standard, where a player just has a full grip and just keeps passing.
Yeah, that actually happened recently to me. I've played a lot against Phoenix recently with like Esper decks and stuff, and I just had a match where, you know, like we've both been doing things and my opponent's been like finaleing and into like Charter Course and Opt and like doing all this stuff, and they just have like 8 lands in play and 6 cards in hand, and I thought erasure them, like they're drawing up to 7 cards. I'm just terrified what's in their hand. Like I'm kind of out of gas a little bit, and I have a Narset on like 3 I think, or 1 and a Teferi Time Raveler on like 2, and I just thought erasure them in their draw step and just laugh. Like they just had 7 cards in hand. They were all spells and none of them. I took a card that had no text. Like their hand was just like Lava Coils, Finales, Spell Pierces. Like nothing you could do. They just no card had text. It was crazy.
I do agree that in the Esper matchup, I definitely thought that Phoenix was the inevitability machine before I started playtesting that matchup. And it really made me have to change the way that I built the Phoenix deck, because you don't beat them in the long term, even though you like are discarding lands to all of your charts and Tormenting Voices and stuff like that, because you just have a deck full of Spell Pierces and just garbage cards that are like that lose value later as the game goes on. So even if you're looking at more cards than an Esper deck, you know, it's not lining up as well, because it's not like Bell Haunts that always do the same thing, or Guard Mages or whatever you play on 4. And you know, all the cards always do the same thing, which is a pretty good dense replacement effect of itself. Yeah. And Phoenix, like, I was blown away that I was like, if we both have 8 lands and 4 cards in hand, there's like 4 or 5 cards that actually have text on them. You know, I just assumed I would win from the Phoenix side, but that's just not the case.
Yeah, I think something of noteworthy here is the fact that Narset's becoming a lot more played in the main deck changes that matchup dramatically, and if a player is smart from the Esper side, just never activates Narset, and it's so hard for Phoenix to win. But anytime I'm playing, I'm like, oh my god, if my opponent did not activate Narset and give me the chance to lightning strike it, there's zero chance I could win this game. I would have to wait to top deck another burn spell. So I really think it's the heads up play to just play Narset, static ability only, go, unless you have a way to back it up.
Also, oh, yeah. Like, sometimes, yeah, I think playing Narset against Phoenix is a really skill-intensive thing, because oftentimes it's correct to leave it on 5, but then sometimes it's also correct to downtick it. Like, maybe you're looking for a piece of a card to, like, lock things up, or you maybe don't care that much if it dies, but you just need to, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's not always black and white on how you should activate use a Narset in that matchup, and I think there's a lot of skill there as well.
Well, but it is black and white. It's either do it or don't, so...
Oh, you're right. Okay. You got me real good.
All right. Well, I want to conclude here.
It's also black and white and blue because it's Esper.
Wow. I wish you got there like 3 seconds ago. I would have applauded it, but right now it's too late.
Thanks.
It's too late. And it's too late to apologize.
It's too late.
All right. Well, everyone... the three of us are fried from a week of bunch of content, bunch of stuff. I'm fried mostly because right before we did the podcast, we unloaded BBD's U-Haul to our pod because it just got here in the house. And then
we unloaded our iPod, which will lead directly into you can listen to us on Podbean.
Yes.
Stitcher. Yeah.
All right, but I do want to say to all of our patrons out there, if you have any questions about Standard going into not this weekend but next weekend, because it'll be for our next show, please head over to our Patreon, or not to our Patreon, to our Discord, and ask away. And if anyone wants to get direct questions to us, send them that way. Also, because you are if you become a patron and use the Discord to ask us questions, I guarantee we will answer the question either here on the podcast itself, or if it's not PG-13, in the Discord.
Well, and if it is really, really inappropriate, we will answer it live on MTGBBD's Twitter account.
Yeah.
If it's really inappropriate, it's probably anus related, and it's probably going to be talked about on stream, even though we won't even know that that was a question. We'll just get there anyway.
Yeah,
just
intuition.
A level ahead. Yeah.
Intuition.
Oh, wow, that would be great. If your question is so absurd, Brian will just answer it with no context while streaming.
Without knowing about it, yeah.
Answering
the question.
I'll just be in the middle of a match, and I'll like 3 hours into my stream, and I'll just answer your question, just straight up, no context. Yeah.
Oh my god! All right, I want to know everyone's pick for this weekend. What would you play if you were playing in a tournament?
I mean, it's hard to argue with that Esper control list that had dominated this fandom event. It looked so strong. Narset's insane. Little Teferi's insane. Big Teferi's insane. I would play shows 75 if I was going.
I don't know if I'd play 75 because I need to thoroughly look through it, but I do agree. I think I would play Esper control too.
Yep.
I'd play Esper hero.
Of course. You did. Yes. The broken clock has been right way too many times.
Yeah, even but not today, Brad. Not today for BBD.
What are you talking about? I top eighted via proxy through you playing my list.
That's true. Yeah, it's about time. It's about time I do better and actually carry some of your deck to a result instead of jumping on your back. Instead of jumping
news.
On your back for the last few times.
Breaking news.
What?
It's not breaking news to anyone but YouTube because everyone else is hearing this the next day. Gabriel Nassif did beat all of it. So everyone, get back to the blue-green Steal Yo Stuff deck.
Jeez. Gabriel Nassif takes down his second fandom tournament.
Wow, I got something you can steal right here.
Is that the dirty dishes that you have downstairs?
No, I already took this back upstairs.
Wow, guys.
Wow, my shaming didn't work.
No, it didn't. It's D's nose!
No, don't!
Oh, sorry. Well, that's a bag of almonds. I'm sorry. My bad. Yeah.
Well, what did you just do?
Everybody,
I was shaking a bag of almonds.
As we've gotten way loose towards the end of this podcast, I'm just going to say thank you so much for listening, everybody. Don't forget to check us out on Podbean, iTunes, Stitchers, and Spotify. Leave a review if you liked what you heard. If you don't, save it for next time, okay? I want to thank you so much, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.